Thank you. Please sit down. And good evening, everyone. I'm going to focus on a passage of scripture you've heard many times, and I often heard this particular passage being preached years back concerning getting all the things you want given if you just ask with faith and all that. I've come to understand the passage I'm going to read different from what I used to, and I'm going to share with you what I believe is something crucial in this passage. And well, it's verses 7 and 8 of the passage you were just looking at, the words of Christ. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Lord, I just pray that you enable me to communicate faithfully. And Lord, I pray that your people will have discernment over what is preached. And above all else, may your voice and your truth be discerned in tonight's message. For Christ's sake, amen. Ask and you will receive, and seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened. What's the first thing you think of when you hear those words? Augustine of Hippo wasn't a person renowned for a great sense of humor, but he told a joke once, and it's gone down in history. I'll tell you his joke. You probably heard it. There was this very inquisitive man that just had a lot of questions. He was burning with all questions, and he went to his priest, and he said, "Father, I'm really troubled because it's been bugging me. I can't stop thinking about it. What was God doing before he made the heavens and the earth?" And the priest said to him, "Well, what was he doing? He was busy making hell for people like you who ask such silly questions." And it was tongue-in-cheek. It was supposed to be funny. But there's a sad truth to that, because there are some people that seem to think we're not supposed to ask questions. You know, we're just to swallow everything that comes our way and accept it without question. The Roman Catholic Church have a doctrine known as implicit faith. We got no ex-Catholics here? Implicit faith teaches that the laity, that's the people in the pews, are not supposed to think too much. They're not supposed to ask all the questions like, well, why did Mary ascend to heaven and why do we have to go to Mary? They're not allowed to think. They believe the clergy is there to think for them. So they have these brilliant theologians and priests that study 7-year courses and all that, and they do the thinking. And the laity must just be quiet and implicitly believe whatever the church teaches. They honestly teach that. Don't ask questions. Trust us. We know what we're talking about. Implicit faith. But the fact of the matter is, and I hope to prove it to you tonight, God loves an inquiring mind. And in our text, Jesus is telling us to ask, and it will be given. Now, I don't believe this is just for material needs. Can't you ask God things that are really amazing your mind? Can't you share with God the depth of your searching? Of course you can. In fact, we're told those who seek will find. We're to knock. Knock on what? Knock on the revelation that God has offered and search the scriptures. We're told by Jesus here, in the imperative mood, and that's important if you know your Greek, it's a command. We're supposed to ask God stuff. We're supposed to seek before God and knock. It's ridiculous that anyone should say that Christians aren't to think and inquire and search. In Deuteronomy, God clearly commands us like this. And this is the greatest commandment, Jesus said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your strength, your soul, and all your mind. God wants his people to think, to search, to knock, to ask. In fact, the word logos, the name for Christ, the word, what word do we get in English that is rooted in logos? Logic. Or theology is what? The logos of God. Anthropology, the logos of studying men, and so on and so forth. Logos means to think and learn and discover. And Jesus is the very essence of all truth. In fact, it says all the riches of knowledge are found in Jesus. Why are we told that? Because he wants us to dig and mine and search and ask and think. And here's the big problem I'd like to share with you tonight. It's a big problem. Knowledge nowadays, thinking is something not cool. People don't like the idea of being too cerebral. I've been told that lots of times. That's too cerebral. You know what that is? Brainy. Too intellectual. That's another bit of water they pour on hunger for knowledge. Or they'll say, oh no, it's too head in the clouds, too fuddy-duddy. In fact, people have actually said to me, we don't need to study books anymore. We don't need to know lots of things because we've got Google. And all you've got to do is type in and you get all the answers you want. You don't have to think for yourself. The computer's thinking for you now. And you've got all the sciences at your fingertips. Google's your intelligence. And I find that very, very sad in our age. People don't want to think. They don't want to search. Do you know this is known, those of you who are young enough will know, this is known as the postmodern age. We are postmodernists. In history, we'll be listed as the postmodern people. Now, what does post mean? It's not the stuff you get in your letterbox. What is post in Latin? After. Modernism has another name, the age of reason. And in the age of reason, people used to believe that thinking was important, and that with research and study and experimentation, people could arrive at the truth. And people believed that if you opened up your mind, the sky was the limit. You could discover great things. But now this is post-modernism age. In other words, we are past believing in the truth. Do you know that in the universities, they are teaching the young people that there's no such thing as truth? That's taught now. They say all there is in human thinking is opinion and belief system. They have a fancy word for it, paradigms. And they say we're all living in the bubble of our paradigms, and everybody's right in their own paradigm. There's no right or wrong. Basically, the strongest are the ones that are going to get heard. You know, the ones with the most power will have the meta-narrative, the control. But it's being taught in our universities now. That means all our graduates and intellectuals are going to come out with this, that there's no such thing as truth, and therefore knowledge is relative, and searching for truth is a total waste of time. This anti-thinking system, I'm sorry to say, is affecting our churches as well. Because, you know, when you study theology in the universities, I had a bit of it when I was there, you've got to do a course before you start theology on postmodernism. And you've got to agree that there's no truth and everything's relative. And I read an article recently in an evangelical magazine, but I won't tell you which one it is because that would be mean. But this fellow says in the magazine that we're living in a day and age when doctrines, you all know what doctrines mean. Doctrine means truth that you pick. It's the fruit of the scriptures. It's truths that God's given us that we're able to take out and systematize and put in a rational sense of worldview. Well, this fellow said, church doesn't need doctrine or catechism anymore. And what he basically said, I'm not going to give you word for word, but he said the church doesn't need to be taught stuff. The church needs to be emotional in its expressions. And he basically said, love, joy, and sharing communion is what Christianity is all about. And there's a paragraph where he says, doctrines just divide and cause people to split up and argue. Get rid of doctrines. Love is what unites us all. It sounds very nice, doesn't it? He basically said, Christianity is a message to the heart, not to the head. And he goes on to say, the problem with church history is too many people took truth too seriously, and because they believed the truth, they argued with people that believed other things, and that was the problem. Down with truth, down with thinking, in other words. Now, it is true that Christianity is all about love and fellowship and joy. Would you agree? Christianity is bursting with love and fellowship and joy. But think about it. How can you know what Christian love is? How can you know what Christian joy is? How can you know what Christian fellowship is unless you know something about Christianity? Anyone can have joy, but what is this joy? There has to be something that joy is rooted in. Silly question, but humour me. In fact, we're going to have 5 minutes of questions anyway after that. I like the question bit in the evenings. But can you have... Well, first, do you agree that Christianity is the answer? It's the answer, isn't it? Can you have an answer if you don't have a question? Is it possible to have an answer if you don't ask a question? I'll give you an example. It's in the room upstairs. There's my answer. It's in the room upstairs. What does that mean to you? It will mean absolutely nothing to you unless you're asking the question, where's my handbag? And then everything comes together and it makes sense. But an answer, which is what Christianity is, has to be preceded by a searching, knocking, asking heart. Jesus is the answer, and we have to have the head that's asking the questions before it's going to make sense. And too many people are getting the answer, and they haven't even asked a question. And we think they're getting saved. We're fooling them. You've got to know the truth if the truth is ever going to set you free. Secondly, it's impossible to have faith, saving Christian faith, unless you have knowledge of what it is that you have faith in. Don't say, oh, well, I believe in Jesus. What do you believe in Jesus? Well, you have to tell me. I have learned from the Bible doctrines like this. He's the Son of God. He died in my place. He's interceding for me now because I can only have faith if I know what my faith is resting in. Romans 10 tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by, and in the Greek it's harema Christou, not logos, it's not the word of God, it's the message of Christ. Harema means, how can I put it? Propositional truth presented about Jesus. And it says faith comes from hearing that. It's not just emotional. You've got to know things in your head before those things in your head can have an effect on you. In fact, your mind can't be engaged. Let me put it this way. Imagine you were a car. And imagine if your heart was the engine that made the car move. Your emotions made you move. Your mind is the gearbox that puts it into action. As a man thinks, so he is. I'm put into gear. That's the mind. And then my heart is affected and acts accordingly. But there's no answers without questions. We need to understand that. You've got to have an inquiring mind to be a Christian in the first place. There's no faith without a message that you've received and understood and believed in. And then thirdly and consequently, there's no Christianity without Christian doctrine. I'm going to state that. It's sad when I know there will be people that may disagree with me. There's no Christianity without the doctrinal message that makes Christianity what it is. Truth, what does truth mean? It means certain propositions that correspond to reality. And if you don't know the propositions, you can't know the truth. This is why children in the past were catechized from an early age and brought up to believe in Jesus. Christians are, the Bible says, transformed by the renewing of their minds. They must know the truth to be set free by the truth. By the way, repentance is important, isn't it? Would you agree? If you don't repent, you can't be a Christian. Would you agree? What is repentance in the original language? Metanoia. Meta means change. Noia, mind. It's a change of your thinking that is repentance. You don't do anything unless you're motivated by your thoughts. Isaiah chapter 1, God pleads with sinners in this way, and I wish more people would listen to him. Come now, says the Lord, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. It's not an emotional grab. He's not just trying to pull you in with feelings. He wants you to sit down and think with him about it. And I think this has been one of my biggest frustrations in probably most of the churches I've served in. If there's one thing I've really regretted in what I've done in this job, it's knowing there are people that I really care about who are not really motivated by studying and learning doctrine. Either they don't think it's important, or they think they've got it all sewn up and known it already. It's so frustrating when the whole of the Christian truth is based upon the invitation to ask and to seek and to know the truth and be set free, to reason together with God. When the scriptures have been supplied, knowing our history, when this was all hidden from us, given so freely. And strangely, it's strange, but it's mostly seniors, I find, older people, people that have been alive a long time and have a lot of knowledge and experience, who seem to realize how much they've got to learn. It's ironic, isn't it? But I find very often in churches, the people that want to come to Bible studies and ask and search and grope and grapple with things until they get the truth are usually the older people. Christ tells you tonight, ask, to knock, to seek. Well, ask who? Ask God. How do we knock? How do we do it? Well, by wrestling with scripture, searching the scriptures, longing to know more, mining for the truths. The difference between Christianity and all other religions, and I challenge you to check me out on this. I'm not just saying this. Check me out on this. All right? I'll give you something nice if you can prove me wrong. But you've got to really prove me wrong. The difference between Christianity and all other religions is God invites his people to think. Because truth is there and there's nothing to hide. The more you honestly search, the more you'll find. Nothing's hidden. God wants you to grapple with the truth. Search it. Do you know that the Buddhists believe that what you've got to do to be saved is not think at all? Have you ever wondered why all the statues of Buddha have their eyes closed? Check next time. They've all got their eyes closed. Why do they meditate? Their whole idea is that thought is evil. It entraps people in the circle of life. They call it what's the word again? I can't remember, it doesn't matter. But anyway, they're trapped in this world of thought, and what they have to do is zone out. You know, you go om and you sort of switch. You blend into the nothing. That's Buddhism. Don't think. The Muslims believe that no one has a right to ask God questions that are beyond their station. It's blasphemy to question Allah. And they simply say, your job is to obey. Don't think. The Roman Catholics, as I said, believe in what's known as implicit faith. What they say is, don't think. You're a bit stupid. You can't do that. Let the professional religious people think for you, and you just believe what we tell you. And yet here in this church, I'd like to tell you something. God is treating you with the greatest dignity he can give to any human being. He treats you as a logos, a logical being. And he presents to you scripture, but it's not just laid out in simple form, A, B, and C. You've got to search and systematize and put it together. But the deeper you go and the more you search and the harder you knock, the more you'll find. Switch your mind on. I've heard people say, but I'm too scared to think because I might discover something I can't deal with. The more you search, the more convinced you'll be of the truth of this book. I can tell you, after 30 years doing this job and dealing with some of the very difficult things, I'm more convinced than I've ever been. This is true. Think. Use your mind. Don't be lazy. Don't let Google think for you. Or am I too late to say that now? Is this generation lost? Read your books. In fact, read the old books.